Good morning, everybody. Shall we have a word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we quiet ourselves before you this morning. We ask that you be gracious, not only to the one who speaks, but to those who hear, and open our eyes. We can see the wonderful thing that is written, both in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament. And help us to understand your will, and help us to walk in it, so that we be blessed not only now, but also in the life to come. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, I mentioned the last time, talk about the times. I talk about time number one, right? Various time. I talk about number one. I talk about number two. Now I talk about number three. I go back to chapter 1, verse 10. To be put into effect when the times, there's various times, will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together, under one head, even Christ. Doesn't matter whether in the Old Testament time, or in the New Testament time. What's the difference between the Old Testament time and the New Testament time? Is in between, there's a cross. Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood on the cross. When he died and resurrected, that's the New Testament time begin. Okay? Whether in the Old Testament time or in the New Testament time, and God going to work out everything to make sure that all things in heaven and on earth together under one head. Jesus Christ is the head. Make sure you are under one head. Obey him and listen to him and follow him. And you'll be blessed, not only in the present life, and also in the life to come. It applies to the Old Testament time, applies to the New Testament time. That's the time number one. And when the New Testament time ended, the New Testament time ended as the church rapture. That's the time number two, the church rapture. You write that down, rapture, and write 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18. When you are rapture, that time number two is Matthew 25:1-13. Make sure that you are the wise virgin under one head, and God can spare you from going through the 7 year of tribulation. If you wasn't taken up to the heaven before the 7 year of tribulation, for sure you will enter the 7 year of tribulation. And you know this is the most dangerous time. According to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3, we are predestined for the carrying the pain, suffer with Jesus Christ. But we are not destined for God's wrath. So that no one would be unsettled by this trial. You know quite well that we were destined for them. We have to go through a trial. That trial is, if you are not under one head, God can inflict pain upon your life, and so that you're going to turn around. And I want you to write that down right beside 3:3. Make sure that you understand that. We all have to go through this kind of trial, this kind of suffering, but not go through God's wrath. 3:3 is different from 3:3 is different from chapter 5, verse 9. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath. God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. I write that down. 3:3 and 5:9. You go through 3:3, just like what Donald lead us to sing the song. What's the name of the song, Donald? You just sing? The cross is not greater than the grace, right? Because in the trial, you go through pain and suffering, but you're not going through God's wrath. In the 7 years of tribulation, if you read the Bible, you see that especially in Revelation chapter 16, the seven bowl, God's wrath pour out into all mankind. Okay? Make sure God did not appoint us to have this kind of suffering. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Right beside the wrath, you write down Romans. Chapter 9. I mentioned this kind of stuff so many times. Make sure that you understand. Make sure when you read the Bible, you can find the same answer. Chapter 9, verse 22. There are two kinds of objects. The first kind of object is chapter 9, verse 22. The object of his wrath. That means God's wrath is poured upon you, and you are the one prepared for destruction. Whereas verse 23, we were the objects of his mercy, whom he prepared in advance for glory. In order to receive the glory, right beside 9:23, we have to go through the trial. It's 3:3, 1 Thessalonians. Okay? You go through the 3:3, you can go through the 4:13-18 to be church rapture. You go through the trial, you fail, you end up in 5:9. God's wrath is upon you. That God's wrath is upon you, you write that down. That is the 7 years of tribulation. Okay? Now I'm talking about the third time. It's the time that you will receive the inheritance. After the 7 years of tribulation, this is 7 years of tribulation. After that, very short period of time, you can enter into the Millennium Kingdom, 1,000 years. I'm talking about the inheritance now. Go back to Ephesians. You know what? Anyone has a cell phone? Now is the best time. At the end of the sermon, take a snap of that diagram, okay? You got that, Moses? And then you do homework and study that. And when you find out what I write in here is different from what the Bible say, you tell me next week or week after. Okay? You have to do your homework and check that. And some lazy people, just like what's the professor in the seminary, teaching the seminary student and saying that there are three kinds of rapture that people believe in the church history. One is before the 7 years of tribulation. One is in the mid of the tribulation. One is after the 7 years of tribulation. And that's not true. There's only one will. Okay? And people don't read the Bible. Just read what other people say. They don't do homework. They auditing and thinking that they are wise. And they are the candidate. They go through the trial. And they are the candidate they fail. You don't go through 3-3. You pass 3-3. You enter into 5-9. I say that one more time. It is not God's will to destroy you. Right beside 5-9, 1 Thessalonians, you write down Deuteronomy. Chapter 10, verse 10. It was not God's will to destroy you. Do not be a foolish one and end up being destroyed by your own foolishness. Just like 10:21 in the book of Proverbs. My people, the foolish one, perish because they lack of knowledge. They are foolish. They just listen to what other people say. They don't study themselves. They're not prepared. They ignore God's word. Okay? I mention all this stuff. Just like what Donald quoted in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 13. Is for your own good, so that you get blessing. You miss that, you're going to suffer pain. You know what? My hand is clean. I mention everything that I know, and that is true. If you miss it, nothing I can do. Okay? Make sure you understand. When you go home and read the scripture you don't understand, you can call me, or in the next week, when I preach, you can ask questions. Very likely, the thing that you don't understand, other people don't understand too. Okay? Now go back. Talk about the third time. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. In him, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who worked out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. They are loaded with word. If you don't break it down, you don't even know what he's trying to say. But if you apply this statement into the life of Paul, you have a deeper understanding what he is trying to say. He's not inventing some message or create some message out of the air. No, he's saying things that based upon his personal experience. He says things based upon God reveal his plan to him. God the Father in Galatians, God the Son Jesus Christ in Galatians chapter 1, and then in Ephesians chapter 3, God the Holy Spirit revealed his plan to Paul so that Paul knew the mystery of God. Why right beside predestined? You write down Romans chapter 8, verse 29. And listen to what Paul say regarding the predestined. What God predestined. For those God foreknew, God also predestined. Predestined of what? To be conformed to the likeness of his son, Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ has to go through pain, carry the cross, we are all predestined to carry the cross. How do you know, Pastor John? Of course I know. You write down Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. It is by grace that we are saved, not just because we believe in him that we are saved. We also believe that because he suffered, we also have to suffer. That's what we believe. That's by grace. It has been granted to us on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him so that you have salvation, but also to suffer for him. That's the total package of the salvation. Because he not only saved your soul, saved your spirit, and saved your body. Once you have the body, you can attend the wedding supper of the Lamb. And with that body, you can take the inheritance that God prepared in advance for you for glory. Because you are not the object of God's wrath. You are the object of God's mercy. You have to understand that. If you are the object of God's wrath, you are prepared for destruction. If you prepare for destruction, it is not God's will to destroy you. You destroy yourself. Everybody say, 10-10. Okay? 10-10. Deuteronomy. 3-3, 1 Thessalonians. Don't go to 5-9 Thessalonians. Okay? You don't understand. It's you who destroy your own self. I say that one more time. I look at the life of Paul. I understand. For it has been granted to us on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in Jesus Christ, believe in him. That means the first command. You write that down. 1 John 3:23. What is God's command to us? Is to believe in the name of his son Jesus Christ. What is God's command for us? After you believe, after you are saved, your spirit is saved, your soul is saved, make sure your body is saved. According to his command, love one another. Right beside love one another, you write down Philippians 1:29b. He has been granted to you not only to believe in him, but to suffer with Jesus. That's the whole package. You cannot take it apart. You cannot. You know, I know that at home, you know, your chopstick in the corner at the portion of food that you like to eat, but the other portion you don't take it, right? Is that what you do, Donald? No, you take the whole package? Hey, violent. Prove it with your size, man. Don't tell me with your word, okay? Don't pull my leg, okay? To suffer for Christ is by grace. To believe in Jesus Christ is by grace. Right beside to suffer for Jesus Christ, you write down 1 John chapter 3, verse 23b. How do I suffer for Jesus Christ? By the time when I follow God's command to love one another, in order to love God and love his people, you have to suffer. Without suffer, your love is not genuine. It's counterfeit. Don't tell me that kind of garbage, okay? I say that one more time. This is a trial that we have to go through. 1 Thessalonians, you write down. Right beside part 2, to love one another, you write down 1 Thessalonians 3:3. This is the kind of trial we have to go through. It has been predestined by God. And then you write down Philippians 1:29b. B. So what Apostle John said is same as what Apostle Paul said. Don't tell me you don't understand now. You know that this is what God wants you to do. And on top of that, you write down Romans 8:29. God predestined. Anyone who believes in Jesus Christ, you have to follow Jesus. You write down one hand, Ephesians. Under one head, even Christ. Under one head, that means you don't do your will. You don't like to see what you like to see. You don't want to say what you like to say. You don't want to go to the place you like to go. You go to the place, you run the race, you fought the good fight, you kept the faith. That's what Paul said. I want to stop here. Do I make myself clear? If you are under one head, even Christ, you can enter the millennium kingdom. Doesn't matter where Old Testament saint or New Testament saint, because you follow Jesus Christ. Go back to Romans 8:29. I read that to you. So that's why I say, you know, you don't memorize scripture. I don't know how can you understand scripture. I just don't really know, you know. And you can keep on doing your own thing, you know. You know, eventually, when God inflicts pain on your body, then you're going to regret. 8:29, for those God foreknew. Right beside God foreknew. What do you mean by God foreknew? God foreknew, you write down 1:3 and 1:4. Go back to Ephesians. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ. In verse 4, God chose us in Jesus Christ before the creation of the world, chose us to be holy and blameless in His sight. That is what He foreknew. God knows what He's going to do, but do you know what He expects of you? That's the thing that you have to work it out, right? He know that. He know that you are chosen. But do you know that you are chosen? That's the point. Now, why He chosen you? He chosen you to be holy and blameless in His sight, right? Before the creation of the world, before even you were born. So that is foreknew. He knew that. But do you know it? Do you know it? Do you know it now? Did you write that down in the Bible? Right beside 8:29, you write down Ephesians chapter 1, 3 and 4. Right beside the word, circle the word, foreknew. Do you know that you are chosen? Why you are chosen? Okay? That's the thing. Once you know that you are chosen, another thing you have to know, those God foreknew, He also predestined. Predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. In other words, if Jesus Christ had to carry the cross to fulfill the will of God, we all have to carry the cross to fulfill the will of our Heavenly Father. That Jesus Christ may be the firstborn, among many brothers. Okay? Right beside the firstborn. If Jesus Christ is the firstborn, make sure you are the member of the church of the firstborn. That's Hebrews chapter 12, 22 and 23 and 24. Do you remember that? I don't know whether you remember that. That's time number one. Right? So do you have to work today? You still have to work today, right? Yes or no? Okay. I'll give you credit. You know, you have to work. You still spend half an hour, whatever, and listen to what God has to say. 12:23, the firstborn. The church of the firstborn. How can I know you are the church of the firstborn? If Jesus Christ is the firstborn, he has to carry the cross. If you are the church of the firstborn, Moses, do you have to carry the cross? If you have to carry the cross, just like what he say in Philippians 1:29, it has been granted to you on behalf of Jesus Christ, not only to believe in him, but to suffer what? Johnny Walker. Once you suffer pain, later on in life, what kind of blessing you get? I want you to write that down in a Paul experience. Okay? Number one, right beside suffering, 129b, you write down number one, Acts chapter 9. Number two, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Number three, 2 Timothy 4, 16 to 18. Three stages. Act number 9. Before suffering, Paul's name is called Saul. God got to change his name, allow blindness in his life. Okay? That's the first kind of pain that he suffered. During these 3 days, he fasted, he prayed, and then Ananias was sent to where he is, anoint him, so that he be filled with the Holy Spirit, and his eye was opened. That's first pain that he has to go through. Second pain, he has a thorn in his flesh. He got that in the middle of his life. And he feel very uncomfortable. He prayed 3 times. The Lord say, my grace is sufficient for you. I don't take it away. If I take it away, you'll be so proud and arrogant, you follow the very footstep of Satan. You're going to lose everything. You lose your salvation. You lose your inheritance. You lose your crown of righteousness. So I have to have that kind of thorn in the flesh in your body. And finally, my Lord going to spare me, rescue me from the mouth of a lion, from all kind of wicked people persecution. And my Lord going to take me up to heaven. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 6 to 8. I fought the good fight. I run the race. I kept my faith. And then there's a crown of righteousness from the judge, our Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous judge, and given it to me. Not only given it to me, but given to those longing for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means they are prepared. Longing for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, you write that down. They are the wise virgin. They are the wise virgin. Okay? Now, for all this kind of stuff, I wanted to mention 2 things regarding inheritance. Number one, present. Number two, future. Whatever you suffer for Christ, because he has been granted to you to suffer for Jesus Christ. Whatever has been granted to you that you suffer Jesus Christ, at the present time you suffer for Jesus, Jesus gives you double portion in 2 places. Just like Job 42:10. Whatever Job lost, God gave him double portion. Same as Zechariah 9:12. When you are under bondage, but you have hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, you want to be under one head, even Christ, under Jesus, you want to follow him, because he be testing you. God be testing you to follow our Lord Jesus Christ. You have no choice to suffer for Jesus, to love one another, to do God's will, to save other people. Okay? Now, if you are willing to do that, and you suffer anything, whatever you lost, God say, I give you double portion. God go back to Zechariah chapter 9, verse 12. When you suffer pain, you return to the fortress. That fortress is our Lord Jesus Christ, our refuge. All prisoner of hope. When you are under bondage, you're under pain, under suffering, but you have hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. You have hope for the inheritance. You know you're going to get it, but you didn't get it now. And Bible say, God say, even now, I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. That's the present inheritance. That's the present blessing. Right beside 9:12, you write down Job, chapter 42, verse 10. You know, chapter 1 and chapter 2, whatever Job has lost, God going to restore to him double portion. Turn to Job 42, 10. Because Job listened to God's advice. He prayed for three of his friends. He didn't hold any grudges. He forgave his friend. When he forgave his friend, God forgave his sin. After Job has prayed for his friend, the Lord, circle the word after. After you suffer the pain, after in the pain of suffering you obey his word, you return to the fortress. You are the prisoner of hope. You know that God is going to bless you. You have that hope. You obey him. He restore double portion back to you. The Lord make him prosperous again and gave him, circle the word, twice as much. That's the present inheritance, present blessing. What about the future blessing? The future blessing is recorded in three places, but only mentioned one place. Mentioned in Matthew chapter 19, mentioned in Mark, mentioned in Luke. I just mentioned in the future blessing, mentioned three times, that means there's no mistake. Got to be right. If Joseph have a dream that his brother gonna bow down before him, and even one time, it will be fulfilled. But God gave him double portion. Even his father, his mother will bow down before him. That's for sure it will happen. Now, he mentioned it three times in Matthew chapter 19. Turn to Matthew chapter 19. You're going to get 100 portion. Right beside that 100 portion, where you're going to get it? I read that to you. 19:27. Peter answered Jesus, "We have left everything to follow you." Right beside, "We have left everything to follow you." You write down Philippians 1:29b. Write down 1 John chapter 3, verse 23b. Follow your command to love one another. Follow your command to suffer for Jesus. And then follow your command. Just like Job followed God's command to pray for three of his friends. It's very painful, you know. You say, "Lord, I still have an unhealthy body. I lost all my wealth. And my friend has all this kind of blessing. And he cursed me. He condemned me. How can I pray for him?" You know what I mean? He's not concerning about himself. He just obeyed God's command to pray for three of his friends and forgive his friends. You know what the Lord say? The Lord make him prosperous again. The Lord has restored. The Lord's going to restore double portion to him. Remember that? This is the present blessing. But Job is going to receive 100-fold more in the millennial kingdom. He's going to receive more in the new heaven and new earth. Brother and sister, don't you know that? If I don't tell you, you don't know that. Don't be a short-sighted. Don't ever think that what you get now is good, and disobey God, and despise His word. It is not His will to destroy you. It is your own will to destroy your own self. Not everyone who call me Lord, Lord can enter the kingdom of God. Only those who do the will of the Father. What's the will of the Father? God has been tested. Everyone to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, so that His Son, Jesus Christ, is the firstborn. And then so that you can be the member of the church of the firstborn. Everybody say, does it make sense? If I put all this together, does it make sense? It makes good sense. So that's why I never change the Bible. Every word has its own meaning and help us to have a deeper understanding of His plan. Am I right? Check it out yourself. Okay? Do you understand what I'm trying to say, Joyce? Tell me what I say. No, I want you to tell me what did I say. You tell me what have you learned today? You know that in the present time you get double blessing. You know that in the future time you get 100 times. What's wrong with suffering for Him? That's why Deuteronomy chapter 10 verse 13 is for your own good. It's for your own good. 10:12 talk about 4 things. It's for your own good. Number one, to fear the Lord your God. Number two, to obey His command. Number three is to love Him. Number four is to serve Him with all your strength, all your mind, all your soul, all your heart. For your own good. So that you not only get present blessing, you also get future blessing. 100-fold. Listen to what Peter has said to Jesus. We have left everything to follow you because you predestined us to follow you. You are the firstborn. We are the church of the firstborn. What then will there be for us? That means what do I get for it? Should I go for it or should I not go for it? Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. At the renewal of all things, write that down. At the renewal of all things, you write down 1,000 years of millennium kingdom. You write down Revelation 24-6. And then you write down Revelation 21 and 22. That's the renewal of all things. Okay? The renewal of all things. You write down. Isaiah 65. That's the renewal of all things. That's the millennium kingdom. You write down Revelation. New heaven and new earth. That's the renewal of all things. Revelation chapter 21. How did God renew all things? The old heaven and old earth will disappear. Then the new heaven and new earth, chapter 21, will come. Okay? And then in Isaiah 65, and how did God renew all things? Because from the throne, from the most holy place, out come the river, okay? And cleanse the Jordan River, cleanse the Red Sea in the east, and then the river come out and cleanse the Mediterranean Sea, the Greek Sea. And then when God cleansed the Mediterranean Sea, that means cleansed the Atlantic Ocean, Pacific Ocean, the whole world. It's the renewal of all things. Because we live in this world, we mess up the world. And when God comes back, he's going to renew all things. During that time in Millennium Kingdom, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on the 12th throne, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Verse 29. Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sister or father or mother or children or field for my sake will receive 100 times greater than. That's the future blessing. In the Millennium Kingdom, in the new heaven and new earth, that's the inheritance we're going to get. 100 times. And we'll inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last. You write that down, that's Peter. But many who are last will be first. You write down, that's Paul. Go back. I finished talking about the inheritance. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. In him, we were also chosen. NIV, I don't like the word chosen. I like the footnotes. In him, we were made heir. Heir of God. Make heir. Right beside make heir, you write down Romans chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. If we are children of God, if we are adopted as his son, then we are heir of God, co-heir with Jesus Christ. If we suffer with Jesus, we're going to be glorified with who? With Jesus. Go back. 8:17. Now, if we are children, that means son of God, then we are heir of God, co-heir with Christ. Whatever Jesus Christ received from God, I will receive the same thing from God. If indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. Write that down. Share in his glory. Because it's 9:23. We are the object of his wrath. Prepare in advance for glory. We are not the object, 9:22. We are not the object of God's wrath. We are the object of God's mercy. Object of God's wrath is prepared for what? For destruction. Right beside wrath, you turn to Revelation 15 and 16. Because of the time that I don't have, you write down 15:1. I saw in heaven another great and marvelous sign, 7 angels with 7 last plagues. Last, because with them, God's wrath is completed. 16. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the 7 angels, go pour out the 7 bowls of God's wrath on the earth. Make sure you know that. Go back to 1 Thessalonians 5:9. We are not destined for God's wrath. We are not. We are what? Hannah. We are what kind of virgin? So why virgin? Where will they go? To the banquet. On earth or in heaven? Okay, in heaven. That's good. Make sure you know that. We are 3:3, not 5:9. You miss the bowl with 5:9. You failed the exam. You have to write the supplemental exam. Am I right? Make sure we don't fail. We are not a loser. We are overcomers. Okay? Make sure we understand that. Go back. Don't allow God's wrath fall upon your body. It is very, very painful. Allow God's blessing unto you. In Him, we will make heir. Go back to Romans. The 8:29, 8:30 now, and those God predestined, God also called. I predestine you to follow Jesus all the way, under one head, predestined right beside 1:10, Ephesians. Want to make sure Johnny Walker, you're under one head. Not your girlfriend, she's not your head. Who is your head? Jesus. Under Christ, okay? That's what God predestined. You say, that's what God predestined. You say you agree with that, then He call you. Those He call, He justify you. He save you, save your life. Those He save, those He justify, He glorify you. You write that down. 8:30. We are prepared in advance for God's glory because we are object of His mercy. I want you to go back 2:3, Ephesians. Paul say that in chapter 2, verse 3. We used to be the object of God's wrath because we live in transgression. We follow our own flesh, do our own thing until He become blinded. Then He turn around. Then He get blessed. Make sure when God inflict pain on you, you don't resist Him. You submit to Him. Job chapter 21:20, you submit to Him and live at peace to Him, prosperity will come to you. You resist Him, you're going to die. Job 21:20. Wow, scary. I don't know that this. Let his own eyes see his destruction. Let him drink the wrath of the Almighty. Oh, wow. That's not what I want to say. Okay? 2021. Scary. 2022? 2021? Submit to the Lord. Don't oppose Him. Live at peace with Him. Okay? And in this way, prosperity will come to you. You'll get blessing. Okay? You'll get blessing for that. 22:21. Now go back. So what does it mean in verse 11? Having been predestined according to the plan of Him who worked out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. You know what? Right beside God worked out everything. You write down 8:28 Romans. For we know that. We all know that. God worked out all things for the good of those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. Right beside 8:28, God work out everything. We know that. You got to make sure you know that, okay? We know that. In all things, God work out the good of those who love Him, who has been called according to His purpose. So I want to put that instead of those, I change the word. God worked out for the good of Paul, who loved Him. Paul is the one who are called according to His purpose. How did God work out everything? You write down Acts 9, 2 Corinthians 12, the thorn in the flesh, and then lastly, save his soul, save his body, spare him. 2 Timothy 4:6-8, 4:16-18. That's how God worked out everything. If how God worked out everything in Paul's life, I believe God's going to work out in your own life, but in different way. Okay? In his own way. And we all know that. Because you also write down 5:17, Gospel of John, my Father is at work to this day, and Jesus is at work also. What kind of work? It's not a work of creation. It's finished already. It's a work of salvation. He can keep saving us because he wants to make sure you're going to get inheritance. Make sure you're going to get double portion for your own good. He wants to make sure you don't know that. He wants to make sure you get it. So that's why 22:21, submit to the Lord and live at peace with him. Prosperity. In this way, prosperity will come to you. It's for your own good. Fear the Lord. Obey his word. Love him and serve him with all your heart, all your strength, all your soul, all your wisdom. It's for your own good. Not only the good at present, but also the good for the future. Not only double portion now, hundredfold in the future. In millennium kingdom, and also in where? New heaven and new earth. Is that a good stuff? That is very, very good stuff. You know? Oh man, you guys are so blessed, you know. Are you happy, Emily, that you, Hannah, that you come today? You learn anything that you don't know before? You heard of all this, but you don't put it together, right? You don't see a big picture, right? Now you see a big picture. You know that what God had in store for you, those he predestined, he also called. Though he called, he also justified. Though he justify, he give you salvation, he glorify you. He makes sure you get this kind of inheritance. It's a good stuff. So that's why he work out everything in conformity to his will, to his plan. That is in Christ Jesus. That's loaded with word. If I just talk about 11 and then go, you don't even know what the Bible say. I say that one more time. After those people who get this kind of blessing, they are the first one to praise God. Those people who get the blessing later, they are the one who praise God later. You don't get this kind of blessing. You don't know that you have this kind of blessing. You don't praise God. Do you know why we need to praise God? According to Psalm 115, verse 17, only those who are living, those who are living for Jesus is the one who praise God. The dead cannot praise God. The dead will not praise God because they live for themselves. They don't get the blessing. They don't even know what God has in store for them. They suffer a little bit pain. They say, "What? This Pastor John cursed me." No, I'm not cursing you. I give you a blessing. If I don't tell what I know, I will be cursed. When I tell you everything that I know, you don't listen, you don't pay attention, you don't apply your heart to what you heard, you don't apply your heart of what you see today, you will be in deep trouble. Because he worked out everything according to his own plan. Paul did not know that in Christ he will get all these kind of blessings. He do his own thing. He persecuted the church. You remember that? So, God wants him to know you are blind. I cause you to be blinded. I let you know you are blind. And then now that you open the eye, I want you to open the eyes of other people. According to Acts chapter 26, that's how he opened the eyes of other people. If you yourself are blind, you cannot open the eyes of other people. Okay? Turn to Acts chapter 26. chapter 26, verse 18. Before 18, verse 17 first. I will rescue you from your own people, that what Jesus said to Paul, and from the Gentile I'm sending you to them. Why would Jesus Christ send the best apostle to the Gentile? Because he wants to bless the Gentile. Where he sent Peter. Peter is not the best. He sent Peter to the Jews. I thank God that he did not send Peter to us. He sent Paul to us to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to the power of God, so that they may receive the forgiveness of sin. I want you to write that down. Not only receive the forgiveness of sin, that is salvation, and receive a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. That is inheritance. That is inheritance. Brother and sister, make sure your eye is open. It's very good. Hannah, you get an apartment, right? Don't spend so much time on it. Spend more time in the future inheritance. Amen or not amen? Good. Our Heavenly Father, we heard of what you have said. We heard it loud and clear. Not only from Paul, from Peter, from various apostles. Open our eyes. We don't want to be blinded, because we know that 4:4 in 2 Corinthians, the Satan, the age of this world, blinded our eyes. We don't see your will. We don't know your mystery of Christ. We don't know what you have in store for us. We don't realize. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has ever conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Lord, we want to love you. Love you all the days of our life until we see you face to face. We want to come and see you and hear what you have to say to us. Good job. Well done. And we're going to receive inheritance from you. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
We understand that when we suffer, Lord, that we take into our hearts that we